Unless you've been under a rock lately, you know what has been transpiring in Texas and in Indonesia and in other parts of the world where natural disasters have struck. So many have been displaced. Lives have been lost. But also, we've been given a glimpse of what humanity does in times like these. The amazing will of normal people, compassion that we have the ability to have for the complete stranger. There's rescue work being done all across Texas. Our beloved Badger alum and native son, J.J. Watt, continues to raise millions upon millions upon millions to help in the relief effort. It's these stories that really grab your heart and capture the mind. Help us to see what great capacity for love and care that we have been granted by the Creator. But it's also in times like these that we also see the other side of the coin, that side of self-preservation. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a very large church in Houston who, until public shame and pressure, they kept their doors locked. A facility that could have housed thousands was not mobilized into action immediately, while other smaller congregations and mosques invited people in right away, feeding and sheltering them. Now, this would be a great opportunity to berate this congregation and the one who shepherds them, but I can't do that, because all I have to do is look in the mirror and know that I haven't done enough, that I have fallen short, that I too close the doors of my heart to those who are in need. More often than not, we all do this. And one of the main factors behind that action of closing doors and closing hearts is fear. The fear of the unknown, or the fear of what might happen to me if I step out into that unknown. If I put my life or my savings or other possessions of mine on the line, what might I lose? I think Peter encounters a similar thing here in our gospel reading, because his response to Jesus is one of fear. Fear for Jesus, but also fear for himself. And it's crazy to think that not just a few verses ago, he was being blessed by Jesus. "Blessed are you, son of Simon. You will be the rock upon which I build my church." Compliments do not come as highly as that one. And then suddenly, Peter, after hearing what the Messiah must actually do, is captured by fear. Fear that his beloved Messiah, his beloved teacher, Jesus, is going to suffer and die. He can't fathom that. But he also knows, as a good student, not a great student, but a good student, that that which happens to the teacher will also happen to the student. So he is gripped by fear for Jesus' life and his own, that he too would suffer and die. Fear can be a great motivator.
but it can also entrap us. It can have us to freeze up and to blurt out things that maybe we don't plan or intend to. So how does Jesus respond to this? But he rebukes Peter very harshly, I must add. For I think Jesus, at that moment, in his humanity, is also gripped by fear. Here's that temptation. Here's the opportunity that you have been waiting for. You were already able to overcome the tempter in the desert. But when the tempter comes as one you care and love and are disarmed by, it's a whole different story. And so Peter lays down this alternate path for Jesus, this path not of suffering, this path of power. And so Jesus, like he did in the desert, says, "Get behind me, Satan," and talks about what the cost of discipleship looks like. A path that is not one of power and pomp, but of weakness, one of suffering. So Jesus, in his own way, reminds us and teaches us what discipleship looks like. And it looks like vulnerability. It looks like opening yourselves up to the pain and suffering of the world. To be open to being hurt and dismayed by the actions of others because of who you follow. But even more so of the world around you because of what you have been called to do, to live for the sake of the world. And it's not something our society or our culture readily promotes, is it? If you walk around, do you hear yourselves being encouraged to be weak, to show your scars, to openly discuss your faults and your shortcomings? How many of you would have been excited on Friday night had the Badgers not turned it around after halftime? Would you have celebrated their foibles? Would you have lifted up the ways that they had fallen short? I doubt it. It's not our culture. Our culture is built on winners. Our culture is built on success, not failure, not brokenness. The culture of Jesus, the culture of compassion and forgiveness, the culture of discipleship is built upon those things. And this is where God meets us. God meets us in our weakness. God meets us when we are sitting in the pit, broken. For we have a God who took on flesh and bone, was ashamed, led to a crooked tree, and hung naked for all to see, for all to tear down, for all to see the weakness of God's plan. For God's plan was never about power, was it? Was Jesus born in the palace? Or in the stable? Did Jesus wander around with the elite or with the downcast, the downtrodden, the castaways, cast offs? There's a beautiful thing we did this morning. Generally, we do it. And that's when we gather together to begin our time of worship. with a confession, where we openly admit the ways that we have fallen short. We openly admit the ways that we have failed as disciples. Christ has laid out the path, and it is a costly one. And each week, we fall short. And yet we hear the words of forgiveness, the words of encouragement, the words of healing, the words that we are to share with the world. And though we are tempted by self-preservation, we are tempted by fear to slam those doors shut, to close our hearts to those who are also hurting, to those who are cut off, to those whose pain may be more than we can bear. God is with us. God enables us and strengthens us for this work. This is the theology of the cross. It is not one of prosperity. You don't get stuff for believing in God. Good things aren't going to happen to you just because you follow Christ. In essence, actually, you will encounter more pain and suffering because of the path that you have been called to. Because that's what it looks like to follow Christ. Is that if it is not your pain, it is the pain of the stranger next to you or those who live in the world. And God's power is revealed in that, in simple acts of compassion, in simple acts of mercy. God's power is not found or revealed in a walk through the porticos of power, but through the dusty alleys of weakness and suffering. And when these acts of mercy occur, when we are able to be present for another person in their suffering, it is not so much us doing this, but it is God. For we cannot do much on our own. But through God, we can accomplish so much for the sake of the world. So be signs of God's mercy and compassion. Be a sign of God's revelation and love for all creation. Embrace your brokenness. Embrace your shortcomings. We're able to do this because God first embraced the brokenness of the world, so that in and through us, we may be healing hands and feet. Amen. Thanks be to God.